spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other, and others wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "The work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us." So we continued the work with half the men holding spears from the first light of dawn till the stars came out. At that time, I also said to the people, "Have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night, so they can serve as guards by night and as workers by day." Neither I nor my brothers, nor my men nor the guards with me took off our clothes. Each had his weapon, even when he went for water. Amen.
Glory to God. That is the word of God. Shall we please pray and thank God? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. We give you glory and we give you honor. We exalt you. We yield to you. Spirit of our living God, we humble ourselves to you. We pray you have your way. Give us utterance, Lord. Give us understanding. You help us to grasp what you have for us today, and that you will touch us and use us for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. 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 Glory to God. I have a short story I want to tell us. A kind of like a joke and a story too. A joke and a story. Glory to God. A joke and a story. This joke is about my son Joel. And the story is about my son Joel. So Joel was born in this country. Joel, by God's grace, Joel has four nationalities, right? One human being with four nationalities. So we went out for a walk, and while we were walking, there was one time we went to a pizza restaurant. And so while we were in the restaurant, the lady was asking him what's his name and stuff like that. And she asked him, "Where were you born?" And he said, "I don't know." So we told him, you were born here. And so when we said that, he said, "Yeah, I'm born here." So coming back to the story, our walk that we went on, while we were walking, we got into talking, and then we started talking about where we're from and stuff like that. So I said to Joel, "You're from USA." Joel said to me, "No, I'm not from USA. I'm from the pizza store." "I'm from the pizza store." This joke is funny, but in a way, it's kind of like connects to what we are studying on Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a man that was born in exile in the land of Persia, because the children of God had disobeyed God, and God gave them into the hands of their enemies. He spread them around the world. And so in Persia, Nehemiah was born there as a Jew, but really he is Persian. He didn't have to go back home to help his people rebuild the broken down walls of Jerusalem. He went back to help rebuild the gates and the walls of Jerusalem, to create the defensive perimeters of the city of the living God. This guy, from when he heard the story of how Jerusalem had lost its security, he broke down, he repented, and we have studied till now how he repented. And he asked God, and he even went to the leaders. He prayed for months before he went to the king. And the king granted him favor to go back and rebuild the walls. So this is a young man that has gone back to rebuild the Jerusalem walls. And they have been working. We saw in chapter 3 how they all listened to Nehemiah, and they got involved in rebuilding of the walls. Now the walls were built to halfway, and the devil rose against the work through enemies, through people. And so Nehemiah, by God's grace, comes up with other initiatives to handle the challenge that is at hand. I want to remind all of us that no matter what, who you are, where you are, what your background is, where you are from, whether you are in a foreign land or not in a foreign land. God has a purpose for you. And that purpose that God has for you, if you start to focus on that purpose and you start to live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil is also going to rise up against it. Whatever it is, however it is, we see here that in the chapter 4, they plotted to end the work that was going on. They plotted to end the work that was going on. And so Nehemiah finds himself in a position where he has to now lead his people to become the victorious people that Jesus had called them to be. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Please be patient with me. For some reason, my notes has disappeared on the system. Glory to God. And so we come to Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 15. And I've subtitled this, Victory Over the Attacks of the Enemy. We see that the enemies shrank back. They waged a war. They plotted to go and frustrate the work. And last week we saw how the children of God did not give up. They prayed and they got up and they stood to still go forward and do the work. And so we see in the verse 15, Nehemiah continuing to tell the story. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the war, everyone to his work. Glory to God. When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing. Once they saw the defense of the people of God, the enemies shrank back. They didn't want a battle that they know they would lose. They knew definitely that these Israelites are a very strong nation. Their God is a very powerful God. And so these people, the way they are now revived, the way they are alert and awoken, if we try to battle these people, we are going to lose the battle. And so they retreated. Children of God, the enemy knows he cannot win over you because you serve a mighty and a wonderful, powerful God. The God that created Lucifer, that became Satan himself. He is nowhere compared to the God you serve, but yet still he will try. He will try to frustrate the work, the calling, the anointing, the purpose of God upon your life. He will use people, he will use every circumstance available to discourage you and to prevent you from pressing on. But Nehemiah and the people of Israel stood and they decided they weren't going to give up. And so when the enemy saw this, he couldn't move on. Our God is a mighty God. When you let the devil know that you belong to the Lord God, the Almighty God. The Lord Jesus said, all power on earth, in heaven, under the earth has been given unto me. Has been given unto me. And the word of God says that resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you stand in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and whatever attack that comes your way, you stand in prayer and in word and pushing forward, the devil will go back. He cannot stand against you. Most of the time, he will make you think you do not have the ability to stand against him. That is a lie. The supreme God that you serve has all the power and the authority. Has all the power and the authority. So take your stand, because the devil is looking for a feeble Christian, a useless Christian, a Christian who does not know who he is, That's why the word of God says that they that know their God, they shall do exploits. If you know that you serve a supreme God, a mighty God, a loving God, a protecting God that cares about you, you will do exploits, because the devil knows he cannot. And so he's looking for a weak Christian, that Christian that feels weak, that doesn't know his identity, that doesn't know who he's called to be, that doesn't know that he carries authority. He's looking for such Christian to prey upon. He's looking for such Christian to jump upon and to pounce upon and to make you denounce who you are as a child of God. But I've come to tell you, no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what the circumstance, stand. Even if you don't know how to pray, stand and say, I'm standing in Jesus' name. The name of Jesus is enough to battle for you. Don't give in. Don't give in. Call on other Christians to stand with you. Search the word of God. Believe in the word of God. Pray without ceasing, and you will see victory working on your behalf. Victory working on your behalf. Because he's looking for a weak Christian, a cheap Christian, to pounce on. No wonder Jesus says that the devil roars like a lion. He didn't say he's a lion. He roars like a lion. He pretends to be a lion. And if you know the nature of a lion, how a lion hunts, a lion will take its time watching you, watching its prey. He sees a bunch of deers and he will not go at once. He will wait and wait. He has time. And so when he gets that one that is separated, that one that is limping, the younger one that cannot run, the one that he sees that it is easy for me to jump on, he will target you and then he will pounce with full of his might to grab you. It is the nature of the enemy. And so don't become this weak Christian. This weak Christian. And you will see as we go on that the devil does not want to fight you. He doesn't want to fight you. He will try. But the moment you let him know, hey, devil, I am special. I am unique. I know the God I serve. I serve a mighty God. Oh, sorry. This one knows who he is. He moves on. 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 And the Lord Jesus, when he was presented with an issue concerning deliverance, somebody who was possessed with a demonic entity, that his disciples tried to deal with the demon, and the demon wouldn't leave. So they brought the boy to Jesus, and Jesus rebuked them. You people of little faith, this one does not go but by prayer and fasting. Sometimes your 1 hour prayer is not enough. Sometimes your 2 hour prayer is not enough. Sometimes it demands you fasting and praying, seeking God and saying, Lord, let the enemy know in this situation that you are above him. And the word of God says that he will flee. He will flee. You see, the problem here is this. When you look at the second part, he says that all of us return to the war, everyone to his work. This is the victory. The enemy's utmost agenda is to make sure that we don't fulfill the work that God has given us. If we are not working, then he is winning. If we are not at work for the Lord Jesus, then he is winning. If we are not focused on the Lord Jesus, working, doing what he has called us to do, going to places, preaching the gospel, healing the sick, doing what Jesus has called us to do, then he is winning. But the moment a child of God rises and says, no matter what my situation, my condition, I am going to go through with the work and the calling and the anointing that the Lord Jesus has given me, the moment you make this decision, that is the victory. The work must go on. The work must go on. And so now, the children of God had their victory to move on, because the devil had gone back. He had shrunk. Our victory is when we focus on working for the Lord. Don't get distracted. As a church, corporately here, if we can focus on the calling and the vision that God has given us as a church to our community and be focused on that, that will be our victory. We might not be the whoever that we are supposed to be, but as we focus on God's purpose for us and we do it step by step, that is our victory. He will take us through it. He will encourage us. Sometimes it will not be easy, but He will encourage us through it. Don't let anything stop you. Press and work for the Lord. Work for the Lord. Wherever you go, remember that you are supposed to work for the Lord. The Great Commission, the Lord Jesus, before He left, He said, "Go ye to the nations and preach the gospel." Whatever gift you have, whatever skill you have, whatever ability you have, that is supposed to be what you use to glorify Jesus. You use that to work for Jesus. And as you focus on that, the enemy will know he is a loser. He will bring a lot of things, but you will be victorious. Hallelujah. You will be victorious. So when you look at 16 to 18, the word of God says that, I have subtitled this, "The Sword and the Trowel." 16 to 18. "So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shield, the bows, and they wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah." You remember last week we saw that Judah was the hard-working tribe of Israel, and so they were the ones doing the work, and all the leaders, as Nehemiah puts it here, were behind the house of Judah. So those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves, so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other hand a weapon. Every one of the builders had a sword in his hand, girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. So that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other hand a weapon. Some of the servants did the work of defending, some did the work of building. The workers had a sword at their side and a trowel in their hands to get the work done. The kingdom of God is built with both a sword and a trowel. A sword to come against every spiritual force of wickedness in high place, and a trowel to do the work of building up the people of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the sword of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitude of the heart." It is by the word of God. You see, we have to be committed to working for God, continuing the vision, the calling, the anointing He has given us, the work, the purpose that we are pursuing. We have to, but we cannot do it with the word of God at hand. Because it is by God's word that we move forward. It is sometimes you feel confused, you feel afraid, and you quote the word of God, and before you realize, things are changing in your life. You stand on the word of God. For the word of God says that all things shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Again, He says, he says that he looks after his word to see it performed. And so when a child of God wants to go out to do anything for God, we have to be willing to walk in the word. And so I encourage you, study the word of God. Know the word of God at head and at heart. Commit to the word of God at head and at heart. And as you read, start to obey, start to walk, start to believe, start to take the action that the word of God tells you. And as you do this, the word of God says and tells us that the enemy, he cannot be victorious over you. That is why as a church over here, we are going to be committed to the studying of the word of God. We will teach, we will read, we will do everything. The standing here and teaching the word from the pulpit here, the small groups, the small midweek services that we will call you to come, all of that is to prepare us and to give us the sword in our hand to be able to fulfill the calling of God for us in this community. Do not take it for granted. Take every encouragement. Study the word of God. Study the word of God. We can be very good at working. Some of us are very good at taking a step for God. You see, it is good to take a step for God. But we need to understand the enemy is waiting. He's looking, seeking an opportunity. And while you are working without the word of God in your life, he looks for an opportunity to smack you. And so all of us here, please commit to your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Commit to your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Personal relationship. It's not about coming here and looking nice and doing everything else. It's not about going around and claiming to be a Christian. I have seen so many people who have claimed that they were working for the Lord Jesus Christ and are no more to be found. They have lost somehow along the roadside because they did not commit their relationship with the Lord into an important level in their life. We have to prioritize that intimacy with the Lord. We have to. So the 19 to 23 plans are made to keep a ready defense. Nehemiah came up with a strategy. He first said, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated for far from one another. It is true. They were all over the place building. There were separations. And so Nehemiah derived an initiative of communicating with everybody. The trumpeter, stand with me. You will blow trumpet, and when you hear the trumpet, wherever you are, come together. You see, in this modern day, our trumpet can be technology. When we send an email, come, let's go and do this. Don't keep yourself to yourself. When you see on Twitter, we're using every avenue. You see, the trumpet was a new way of communicating. And we, these days, have to be innovative as well and find ways of communicating and calling people to the working field. And so, as a church here, we will seek to use every means available to communicate and to call us to the place of being victorious and working for our Lord Jesus Christ. We will use every opportunity we have. We will tweet. That's why we are forming a media ministry. That media ministry will bombard everywhere with information. Come, prayer meeting. Come, Bible studies. Come, this event. Come, let's grow together. Let's be prepared together. Let's ready ourselves to go forward and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever you hear. Again, he goes ahead and he says, from daybreak until the stars appeared, the note says, they dedicated themselves to the work all the more, working hard from sunrise to past dark, even spending the night out at the job site to protect against attacks. The enemy is coming, whether we like it or not. This battle, it's not like, oh, I don't want it, so I'm staying out of it. No matter what, you are in it. The moment you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you became a target. And so if you are in it and you didn't call for it, you might as well accept it, be ready, and fight well. And so day and night, they were building. You see, we have to be committed to this calling. No matter what, wherever we go, we have to understand that we are children of God. And he has a higher purpose for us. And so wherever we go, the purpose has to become our vision. Being it that you are sleeping and he wakes you up that he needs you, you have to be ready. Some of us are sleeping too much. Some of us are loving the TV more than we can. So if you are a man working in your home, and your wife is telling you, you're watching too much TV these days. Listen. Your children need you too. Day and night. And we need to pray. We need to work. Some of us are very lazy. You see, we want to become these people. It's almost as if God has to magically make us. Right? But God doesn't work like that. His word says that in all labor, there is profit. If you commit to working hard, you will gain the profit that you need. You see, so you depend on him and you commit yourself to serving him with all your heart. Everything that you do with all your heart, and you work hard, you pursue, there is no way the profit will not come. And these people did it day and night. No wonder they built the walls in 52 days. I keep on saying to myself, I should have called this whole series 52 days. 52 days. There are secrets to why some people make it and others don't make it. There are secrets to why others are successful in things that they decide to do and others are not. If you can't work for it, don't expect it. If you can't depend on the grace of God to work for that which you are looking for, don't expect it. And when you see another person enjoying what the Lord has given them through their hard work and labor, don't be jealous of them. Over here, the work that we are doing here, don't be jealous of anybody. When you see somebody wearing a new suit, look at him too. He's going to buy a new suit. Excuse me. Do you know how he got the money? Huh? Do you know the day and night that he was studying to get a good job? Where were you? Young people here, youth, this is your time to study. I'm telling you, give it all your energy. Study hard. Study the word of God. Study your coursework. And I'm telling you, you will see what Jesus will do in your life. Look, I'm an example of it. I always say I am not the most intelligent human being, but I understand what it means to work. I worked day and night. When I was in the seminary in UK, £8,000 a year. I couldn't afford. And I was in UK, so I was working in the morning. I would wake up at 4 a.m. go and do morning cleaning, 2 hours morning cleaning, school cleaning, go to school full time, finish school, go to work, finish that work and go to a night job. And I was still studying and working. Sometimes I would be sitting in class teachers teaching and I'm in some dreamland. But by God's grace, I'm standing here. Hey, young adults, don't play with your studies. The enemy's way. You see, the word of God says, lack of knowledge, my people perish. The enemy's most easiest way that he keeps us in bondage and for us not to fulfill God's purpose is when we refuse to study. Study the way. Know the Lord Jesus. Don't just commit to studying Jesus. I have seen people who claim to know Jesus and they go to work. While they are at their work, they are reading their Bible. Excuse me. Were you employed to come and study Bible? What is your work requirement? There is time for everything. Wake up early and study. Sit in your car, go to work, and let your boss know, I am here to do the job that you employed me to do. And when your boss tries to play nonsense with you, by the knowledge and the wisdom of God that is in your head, you can speak sense to him or her. Many children of God are being undermined and disrespected and treated uselessly because they do not know the God that they serve. They do not know. One word from you can tell your boss, this guy is not a playboy. You can't joke with him. Just one word from you. I remember I was working with a Nigerian guy, very committed Nigerian guy. And one time, one of our managers was threatening him and he said to the manager, hey, hold on, are you God? And he said to the manager, you think you have authority over me, but between me and you here, we will see who will go first. It wasn't long, 3 months, and the guy was fired from the job. I'm telling you, you serve a living God. Don't be this beating down Christian. You are not a loser. Yeah? Jesus has won the victory for you. You have won already. You are battling from a winning side. There is a song that says, I am on the winning side. I am on the winning side. I am on the winning side. Prayer warriors, be ready. See, there are certain songs when you go to pray and you start singing them, before you realize you'll be standing and bouncing like this. The devil will know, oh my day, something is coming. I have seen church people coming. They are praising God. They are worshiping God. And you see the power of God moving. People being delivered. People being healed. People. Nobody had to go and touch somebody. There is power in the name of Jesus. They that know their God, they shall do exploits. How well do you know this Jesus? Are you committed to knowing him? Do you call on him only when you need him? How do you actually call on him? Do you actually respect him? I see people, we are worshiping here. People will be there chatting and doing their own thing. You are serving a supreme God. Do you know what that means? A reverent God. Some can't even reverence this God, so-called God that we say has given us our life and that we come, let's rise and worship. Then, come on. Reverent him. You see, because we do not understand these things, that is why some of us, the enemy is playing the nonsense that he's playing with us. A friend of mine, he's a minister in UK. One of these days, you will get to meet him. When that guy enters into a room, the whole atmosphere changes. And there was a time in his life, he was going through a very difficult challenge. And he went to see another man of God. And as he was speaking to the servant of God stopped him and he said, hey, have you forgotten who you are? You are a servant of God. Have you seen somebody that has committed themselves to serving God that God has disgraced them? He said when the man said that to him, it was almost as if he got a... Yesterday the women were studying the restart. Reset. He got a reset system. Oh my days, I'm messing up. Some of us complain too much. Some of us complain. And it's almost as if in church, we have to be treated like, look, you are kings and queens, all of us here. But when we come in the presence of God, it is the Lord Jesus that rules. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's not about what you want. If you sit at home in your living room, you can do the room how you want. It's your room. But over here, it is the Lord Jesus' house. And so we seek God. Leadership, we seek God. We pray, we call on Him. What is your will? And we obey. Everybody thinks, look, I need to take this seat home. I need to keep this for myself. This, I want it this way. If they don't do it that way, I'm not coming. Excuse me. Who is begging you here? Jesus came to die. So that me and you will come here. Why are you here? You want to be a boss. Why are we here? And we can't just humble ourselves and submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus. Your pastor tells you something. You think you know better than your pastor. You go away saying, oh, that's even not from God. You snub it. This is the house of God. If Jesus is exalted here, if you exalt Jesus, if you magnify Jesus, if you humble yourself to Jesus, He will bless you. He will promote you. He will increase. You will see the blessing. I'm telling you. Don't joke with it. Always look. If you don't have anybody to use as an example, use me. I'm from Ghana. My own father called me a bastard. Am I a bastard to you? When you watch me, you see, you think I'm a bastard. Jesus has changed my story. Jesus has changed my story. I am not that bastard anymore. My daddy calls me. He knows that he is dealing with an anointed son. You are special. Don't let the enemy allow you. Don't let the enemy take what Jesus has done for you. It doesn't matter your age. You can live for Jesus. It doesn't matter. You will see with your eyes what God will do with our young people here. Young people, believe. I was a young boy when I gave my life. I didn't even understand all this baptism. Don't be studying theology and all. No, there is nothing wrong with studying it. You need to study it. But what I'm saying is, we are not going to heaven because we believed in this. The Bible is what we believe. The word of God. Peter, he said, believed and be saved and be baptized. And on that night, 3,000 people gave their life to Jesus. What you need is the word. Eat it day and night. And you will see Jesus moving in your life. There will be so many testimonies you have. You can't stop saying them. People will start being jealous of you. They won't want you around them. Because every time you come, you have a testimony. You remember Joseph? He had so many dreams. His own brothers and father said to him, his brother said, there comes the dreamer. His own father said, are you trying to say, I will come and serve you? In the end, didn't it happen? What is God showing you in your secret place? Some of us don't know that we are special, we are precious. So when we go everywhere, we lack our identity. So everywhere we go, we have to prove that we are some. No. I don't have to prove to anybody. I am a child of God. And you don't have to be low self-esteem too. If you're battling with low self-esteem, come out. Let us seek God and pray with you together and be set loose from that. Whatever that is causing you to be low self-esteem. But the word of God says, you are the apple of my eyes. You see, how he did this. Quickly. You see, he's wearing glasses, but he's still blinking his eye. You see, Nobody will sit down for you to poke their eye. It is the most protected area of the human body. So when God says you are the apple of my eye, that black thing in your eye, some people's ones are blue, others are pink, that thing over there, he says that we are those, God's eye is on us, we Christians. And so if the devil wants to touch you and mess up with you, that means he's poking God's eye. Do you know what God would do to such a person? God will handle him. The church, we are the bride of the Lord. You see, I will not sit here to see anyone mess about with my wife. Baby, I love you. Nobody can mess up with my wife. And we are the bride of the Lord God. Do you know what that means? You are the bride of Jesus. So that means you are very special to him. Even me, human being, I won't let anyone mess about with my wife over there. How much more Jesus Christ, who carries the power and the authority of this universe? Don't be a low-esteemed person. Whatever you are battling with, tell the devil it's a lie. When you go home today, tell him it's a lie. Tell him it's a lie. By God's grace, I have finished. We are going to pray. Where are you? Chapter 4 is over. We see how God stayed with his people, and his people didn't give up. Even in the face of adversities, even in the face of threats and all the attacks that was coming at them, while the enemy ganged up and decided on attacking them, they stood because they knew their God. Nehemiah led them and he gave them directives how to make it. Children of God, you are special. No matter who you are, whatever age you are special. You are special.